Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse 6. "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And in verse 8, "Then came Amalek, and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Heavenly Father, help us as we open your word. Help us as we break the bread of life. Lord, speak to your people. Lord, give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Lord, those listening, help them. Encourage them. Help them to see Jesus Christ. And this sower, Lord, help this sower to preach the word of God. And we're careful to give you the glory, the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get into the message, I would like to say that you've listened to me, some of you at least, for about a year and a half on this station. You've heard the message that I preach. You know that I go to the Word of God. You know that I get my messages from the Word of God. And I think we'd both agree that I'm not very good of a preacher. I don't really know how to speak before people. But I do know the Lord. And I do know His Word, and I try my best to follow it and to bring it before you. And as I said, I've been on this station for a year and a half, and you've had a chance to see what kind of a preacher I am. You've had a chance to hopefully do as the Bereans did, to take my message and then compare it with the Word of God. And hopefully you've seen that I preach from the Word of God and that my doctrine is correct. You may not believe everything that I believe. I'm a Pentecostal. You may not be, or what have you. But you know from listening to me that I come to you from the Word of God. I don't preach my own doctrines. I don't preach to do anything except to lift up Jesus Christ, that you would be comforted, that you would be helped, that the Lord would care for you. And you know that I have not asked for money on this station. I may have made one plea one time for some missions work that we were doing in Haiti. But I don't ask you for money. I don't sell books. I don't have a tape ministry. I don't sell trinkets or prayer cloths or anything like that. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has led me in that manner, that I come to you bringing the Word of God and asking nothing in return. But as you have listened to me, you've heard me talk repeatedly, I believe, about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. I have some stuff on my website that will hopefully explain more about the things that we're trying to do down there, and you've again heard me on this station. I began to minister in Haiti back in December, I guess, of 1993, and that's a good bit of time. That's about 15 years. And this is something that the Lord has put upon my heart back then and all through these years. He's constantly put a burden on my heart to help these people. And what I do down there is the same thing that you hear me do here. I preach the same message. I am come with the same spirit, the same doctrine. And again, I'm very thankful that the Lord has used me in that regard. But I'm coming to you today and telling you that the Lord, I believe in prayer a few weeks ago, put it upon my heart to ask you to help me. I've always asked for prayer, and I'll continue to do so. As Paul said, brethren, pray for us. But also, I would like you to consider, you've heard the message that I preach, you know the doctrine that I have, and if you're still listening after a year and a half, there must be something that you like. And I'd like to say, if you've been blessed by the program, if the sermons that I preach or the teachings or whatever have ministered to you, please consider that the call upon my heart and life for a number of years has been to minister in Haiti. And as you've listened, you know that I make various trips as I can. We'll go for 2 or 3 weeks at a time or something, and we'll go to some of the villages. We'll preach in the capital city of Port-au-Prince and some places near there, and also we'll go up into the mountains. And I'm planning a trip in December. If at all possible, I'd like to make this trip. I have a pastor that said, hey, we're going to have a revival again in the mountains. We'd like you to come. And there's some other pastors that are not really associated with this man, but I also minister in their churches when I'm there. But this is what I believe the Lord has placed it upon my heart to ask you. You've heard me to preach. You've heard the message that I have. Please consider helping me to take that message to other people. Please consider adopting me, if you will, if you want to use that term, as your missionary evangelist. Probably your church has missionaries. Probably your denomination has missionaries, if they're home missionaries or foreign missionaries. The concept of missionaries is well established. Now, I don't have a missions board or anything like that. But please consider adopting me as your missionary, again, to the nation of Haiti. And again, I can stand on a year and a half. You've heard me preach. You know what I'm going to preach there. If you like what you've heard, if you've been blessed by what you've heard, then please consider supporting me as I begin to make more trips down to Haiti. Again, we've got something planned in December. There's something else that I'd like to be able to do in the end of January and perhaps February. I'm not exactly sure the dates. There's one of the other preachers or pastors has a conference then. And throughout the year, there are these various conferences. And I'd like to thank you that as you hopefully pray, thank you for any support that you would give. And I pray that the Lord would help you and bless you, and reward you. Now, I'm not saying that if you send me $100, God's going to give you 100-fold return. I don't do that. You know, I don't believe in that stuff. Again, I don't have any books to sell or trinkets. I don't have a tape ministry. If you want to have a tape of my sermon, you know, I put these things on my website for free. I don't charge for what I do. And if you send me an offering, I'll thank you for it. I may send you a letter, but I don't have any kind of gift or anything. I would hope that you would understand that as you give, the benefit will be souls that are won down in Haiti. And thank you for considering this. Now let's go ahead and get back to the Word of God. If you listened last week, or actually, I guess 3 weeks ago, when right before Gustav came, I replayed one of my sermons from about a year ago, I suppose, entitled, There is a River. And I started in Psalm chapter 46, I think verse 4 or something, and then I went to Ezekiel chapter 47 and taught out of that passage, I guess about two-thirds of that chapter. And it talks about a vision that Ezekiel had, that the angel, it says, and we pretty much think that that angel was Christ, but the angel came and brought him to the river and showed him that the river in question was coming from God's throne, coming from right beside the altar of God. We know that the altar, the brazen altar, is where the sacrifices are made, and we understand that this points to Calvary. We understand that Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we said that this river is a picture, a symbol, what have you, of the Holy Spirit. Now, very briefly, I'd like to just go through a little bit of it. And again, you've heard this sermon before, and I don't want to bore you again. But just briefly, he says he measured out 1,000 cubits, I guess about 1/4 mile, and there was a progression. The first measurement went to the ankles, and we said that that symbolized that as you come to God, there's repentance that takes place in your heart, and you begin to change the things that you do. You change your outlook. You change your direction, really. Instead of walking in sin and living for the devil, you begin to walk for the Lord, and you begin to serve God, and instead of the bar on Friday and Saturday night, they find you in church on Sunday morning. And again, there's this progression. It was to the knees, to the loins, and then as he went out the full mile, it was a river, he said in verse 5, that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, the river that could not be passed over. And we said that this was a progression. You begin to walk right, your direction changes, then your knees, you begin to pray for lost souls and pray for God to help you in things and whatever. Your loins, you begin to win souls. And then as you go further in the Lord, you find that there's so much more that God has for you. And I believe that you can say, if you go back to Exodus here in chapter 17, that when God told Moses to strike the stone or the rock, water came out of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul said that rock was Christ. That rock that followed them in the desert was Christ. And him being smitten, he satisfies. Christ satisfies the soul. And he gives his Holy Spirit in our hearts as Christians, that the Holy Spirit goes with us. He comforts us. He speaks to us. He'll sometimes chastise us when we do wrong or what have you, but he leads us. And this river is the same thing that John saw. Just very briefly before I turn there, it says in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, etc. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So you've got this river of God, and you've got the trees on each side. I'll be like a tree planted by the river of water, David said. But the fruit of the tree is for food, and the leaves are for medicine. But John, in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, he said in chapter 22 of Revelation, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, and of the Lamb. And that's what we just said in Ezekiel chapter 47. He said that it came from the temple of God and by the right side of the altar, which again talks about the Lamb of God. We know that the Lamb is Jesus Christ. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And then he goes on and continues his testimony or vision or what have you. But we can see by his description of this river in Revelation, and we know that John went to heaven and he saw the Lord and saw these things. It's the same river that Ezekiel saw. This is the river of God. This is the river of life. And John makes this statement here in verse 2 of Revelation 22. He says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. The tree of life. We've seen this phrase, the tree of life, before. If you look in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and also chapter 3, it talks about the river of God and the tree of life. Just briefly turning to it. He says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." There's the tree of life. And in verse 10, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads." And in it gives a description of the four rivers. And it mentions things that we recognize, for instance, Ethiopia. And in the river Euphrates. And you try and look on the map and you try and find these things. And sometimes we get confused about that. And I don't want to focus on exactly where these rivers were, but this is the river of God. This is in the Garden of Eden, right when God created man, and this was a paradise. There was the tree of life and the river of God. In chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman," and we know this story, but in verse 3, "But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And we know this story. We know the story of the fall. But we have here the tree of life and the river of God. And then we find in Ezekiel, he's given a vision. He sees the water of life, he sees the river of God, and he sees the trees. In the book of Revelation, John sees the river of life and the tree of life. And this river is mentioned in other places in the Word of God. And perhaps next time we'll touch on a couple other references. But going back to chapter 17 of Genesis, the children of Israel were thirsty. They were dying, it says, of thirst, and maybe they were or not, but they complained that they were. We know that they were in a desert. We know that they were in a very hot place. We understand about the kind of country that they were in. They were in the desert. We know that when our soldiers went to Afghanistan and Iraq, we know that it's a very hot place. It gets 110, 120 degrees every day, and they have to drink water almost continuously to stay hydrated. God's people that he had brought out of Egypt were in the desert, and they were thirsty, and they said, "Give us something to drink." And we said that there were a number of people. We said 3.5 million people, probably. And God satisfied the thirst of 3.5 million people when the water came out of the rock. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, it talks about, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He was speaking of himself, and he said, "Come unto me." We've heard that cry again and again and again through the Word of God. Jesus says, "Come unto me." He says, "If you're hurting, come to me." He says, "If you're thirsty in your soul, come to me. Whosoever will, let him come to me and drink." And he makes comment about the rivers of living water. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, we know this story as well, that she also was thirsty. She came out to get water around noon or something in the middle of the day and had the conversation with Christ. And he said, "If you knew who it was, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." And she had these religious things in her life that she had to get rid of. She had to confess that her lifestyle. You see, if you come to Christ, there has to be repentance. But Christ said that you can have a well of water in you, springing up into everlasting life. Now, I want to say that these rivers, there was one in the Garden of Eden, there was one in the desert when the rock was smitten, there was the one that Ezekiel and John saw in a vision in heaven. The river that Jesus said that out of his belly would flow rivers of living water. And in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, that there was available to her a well of water springing up into everlasting life. These are different rivers. These are different wells. But I want to postulate that these are the same river and the same well. Now, we know that they're different. We know that there was the Garden of Eden. We know that there's something in heaven that's going to come. And we know that they were in the middle of the desert in the book of Exodus. We know that they're different rivers. But I want to say that they're the same river, because they picture the water of God, the water of life that the Lord has for us. They picture that Christ satisfies the soul. Christ satisfies the soul. And if you're thirsty, you can come to him and drink. If you're thirsty, you can be satisfied. If you're on drugs, if you're in a broken marriage, if you're in an abusive situation, whatever your circumstance, you're hurting. Whatever your situation, if you're lonely, or if you're a teenager and all your friends pick on you, if you can call them friends. Whatever your situation, and I know that I have my situation, perhaps you have your situation, but every man thirsts. Every man hurts. Every man suffers. Every man is perhaps lonely or something like this. When I say man, I mean man, woman, boy, or girl. But every person thirsts in his soul. And Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. He will satisfy the thirst in your soul. I could testify and have testified on this program and in whatever churches I've been privileged to preach at. I had things in my life that weighed me down and drug me down, what have you. I had things in my life and in my soul where I was thirsty, and I didn't really understand, and I fought against it for years and what have you. But when Jesus Christ came into my heart, I was satisfied on the inside. I was satisfied. You can ask any Christian, anyone that's born again, that came to the Lord and the Lord changed their life. You can ask them and they can tell you. Maybe in one way they'll tell their testimony and maybe another way. But they can tell you that Jesus satisfied their soul. The emptiness, the thirst, what have you, the unrest, what have you, he took care of those things in their lives. I'm sure that you know a born-again Christian, if you're not saved. I'm sure you know perhaps your aunt or somebody that's a Christian that knows what we're talking about. And you can ask them. You can get this testimony from any Christian that you ask, and they will tell you that Jesus Christ satisfied the thing in them, satisfied their thirst, satisfied their soul. You know, we look in so many different places. We try to deal with the hurt in our heart, the heaviness in our soul. We look to alcohol or drugs, or maybe we like to party on Saturday night to just drown things away or whatever. Forget your sorrows, whatever. But you can be like that woman at the well, that she left her water pot. She left her water pot. And she went into the city to tell somebody else what Jesus had done for her. She was satisfied. Now, she had a water pot. She had a bucket to get water from. But she forgot all about that when she drank of the living water that God had put in her soul. And she went into town and she said to everybody, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah?" She found the solution. Many problems in the world, I know the solution. His name is Jesus Christ, and you can find Him. You can come to Him, and you can be satisfied in your soul. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.